The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true experiences and opinions of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said,
"There is hope for the addicted, and this hope comes through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and by humbling oneself before God, pleading to be freed of the bondage of addiction and offering our whole soul to Him in fervent prayer. Priesthood leaders can help as those who have addiction seek counsel from them. Where necessary, they can refer them to qualified licensed counselors and LDS family services. The addiction recovery program, adapted from the original 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, is readily available through LDS Family Services."
In this series, you will hear actual meetings discussing each of the gospel principles of addiction recovery and healing. Addiction recovery meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. These podcasts may seem contradictory to such standards. All the participants in these meetings are active participants in the addiction recovery program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. These recordings were created with the express purpose of providing a way for individuals who are isolated from recovery groups to participate, as well as provide an example to church leaders and members of a typical meeting. In this portion of the addiction recovery meeting, you will listen to one member share his or her own personal experience with Step 8 of the addiction recovery program.
Hi, my name's Karen. I'm an addict.
Hey, Karen.
And the first time I went through Step 8, I kind of like all the other steps we've talked about. The first time I went through it, I probably didn't get it quite completely right. But, you know, we kind of learn and grow in steps. But I was still pretty much just cruising along, thinking I'm doing great to be in recovery and just storming through the steps. And my situation was a little different, where when I quit using drugs, I was a charge nurse in a hospital unit, and basically in charge of everybody else on the unit. And the doctors even had to come to me to schedule surgeries and stuff like that, and to clear the operating room with me. And I basically administered on the whole unit. And so when I was caught and fired, I impacted a lot of people, and all of them except for one told me afterwards that they had no idea that this was going on. And the one that did know is the one who turned me in, and thank goodness she did. But so when I got to Step 8 the first time, my family, I should say, also had no idea that I was using or anything like that. My husband didn't know. Nobody knew. And they, at least they say they didn't know. And so I didn't feel like I had really done anything wrong to them, because they didn't have any clue that anything was going on. Yeah, I was grumpy and ignored everyone all the time, but I didn't feel like I had hurt them. So I just, when I got to Step 8, and I'm still kind of in denial anyway, because, you know, I would have quit on my own if I hadn't been fired and all those excuses that we give. But so I basically, my list the first time, just went down and listed all the doctors and the nurses I worked with, and the nurses' aides and the housekeepers and everybody else that worked under my leadership. And that's pretty much what my list was. And when I got to Step 9, I made sure that I apologized to all them, got it out of the way. Well, it wasn't until a couple of years later, still in recovery, that I realized that I really did hurt my family, and I really had hurt, whether they knew it or at the time that I was using or not, they were impacted by the things that I was doing while I was using. And it's sometimes I just think I'm a slow learner. I don't know why it took me 2 years to figure this out, but I really did hurt a lot of other people around me, and so I kind of had to go through and do this step over again. And it's an ongoing process for sure. I just, as I was sitting here, I remembered a story too that I felt like I wanted to share. When I was on my mission, I went on a mission, and my companion and I lived in an apartment. Well, it was a house. We rented a room from an elderly lady, widow, who lived by herself, and we just rented a room from her. and she scared me to death. She was like one of those ladies that was really, really into her routines and really set in her ways. And she used to scrub the copper on the bottom of her pans and stuff like that. And I was just like, everything had its place, and she would know if we touched anything, and she was very, very strict. Well, one night, my companion and I made spaghetti, and I was twirling around being silly or something, and I dropped this plate of spaghetti, and the plate broke all over the place, and I was just like mortified, because I was like, what am I going to do if I have to tell this lady? She's going to notice that she only has 7 in her set now instead of 8, and I was so scared that I actually stewed over it for several days, and I thought, well, maybe she just won't notice, I just won't say anything. And she never did notice or say anything, but it just kept eating at me and eating at me and eating at me. So finally, after a few days, I went up to her and I said, I am so sorry. I will paint your house. I will do whatever you need me to do, but I am so sorry I broke one of your plates. And she just looked at me and said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And she went on along her way like it was no big deal, but it was such a thing, a weight lifted off of me, that it was like, phew, finally I can go on with my work. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. A couple days later in the morning, her phone was ringing, and we noticed she wasn't answering her phone, and she always answered her phone in the morning. So I walked in there to see, you know, if she was sleeping or what, and she had passed away during the night. And what was the very first thing that came to my mind? Not, there's a dead lady laying here. That wasn't the first thing. It was, I am so glad I told her about that plate. And it is just kind of the same thing with forgiveness and the way it frees us. And I feel like, I definitely agree, forgiving myself has been the hardest part of the whole process. But I do feel such a freedom and I don't know, just a power, empowering feeling to know that I have been forgiven by my Heavenly Father. And I know that I have been forgiven. And as a result of that, I don't have to fear what people think or whatever. I can go on and I can still make good choices. And I don't have to define myself by who I used to be, because I'm not that person anymore. And I remember feeling on one instance that even though we identify ourselves as being addicts or alcoholics, that I was praying one night and just feeling bad and feeling the Lord saying, I don't see you as an addict. I'm not identifying you as an addict. You're not an addict to me, basically, is what the message I was getting was. You're a child of God. I love you. I know you. I know the big picture is what he's saying. I know who you really are. And to me, you're not an addict, is what I felt that night. And I just thought how amazing that is, that we can be forgiven and we don't have to define ourselves by these things that we've done in the past. But it is important that we get these things settled and taken care of before it's too late, in order to find that freedom and the ability to move on and progress in our lives. And I really know that that's true, and I'm grateful for the opportunity we have to forgive others. I think it's interesting that this, the whole almost first page of this chapter, which is called Seeking Forgiveness, the whole first page is talking about us forgiving others. I think that's not by accident, that in order for us to seek forgiveness, we have to forgive others. And that's a hard thing for us to do with all of our resentments that we have. So anyway, I'm grateful that the Lord didn't judge me and didn't say, no, I've already forgiven you 1,000 times for that, so I'm not going to do it again, like I would like to do with those who I feel like continue to harm me. The Lord's never said that to me. You've done it one too many times, so no, I'm not going to forgive you. So I have to forgive those who harm me over and over again, too. So anyway, that's all I have. Thanks. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Karen.
The full episode for Step 8 of the Addiction Recovery Program is also available on the Mormon Channel.